We'll now turn to our sermon and look at Canons of Dort, third and fourth head of doctrine, articles 7, 8, and 9. Some don't hear God's call. And why is that? Well, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, why is it that some hear the gospel call, reject it, and stay in their sins, but you didn't? You heard it, you repented, you trusted in Jesus Christ, and you live as a Christian. What's the difference? Well, that's what we will hear about today. Our headings are 3, God calls all people. 2, God calls all people genuinely, not a fake call. And then 3, why is it that some reject God's genuine call? And I know this is an important topic because you may have loved ones who don't know Jesus Christ and they heard the same message. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that in your mind? Well, that's what this section of the scripture, of the confessions, the Canons of Dort speak to us. Our goals are that you will rejoice that you were called out of darkness by the grace of God, and you will continue to offer the gospel to those who are yet in darkness. God calls all people, first point. Article 7, God's freedom in revealing the gospel. Together, in the Old Testament, God revealed this secret of the divine will to a small number. In the New Testament, now without any distinction between peoples, God discloses it to a large number. The reason for this difference must not be ascribed to the greater worth of one nation over another, or to a better use of the light of nature, but to the free good pleasure and undeserved love of God. Therefore, those who receive so much grace, beyond and in spite of all they deserve, ought to acknowledge it with humble and thankful hearts. On the other hand, with the apostle, they ought to adore, but certainly not inquisitively to search into, the severity and justice of God's judgment on the others who do not receive this grace. Now, there's a lot there to consider. First of all, God calls all kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles, through the preaching of the gospel. In the Old Testament, God called Jews and Gentiles in the Old Testament, and many of even the foreigners believed. People like Jethro, Nebuchadnezzar, Rahab, Ruth, Caleb. These were immigrants to the Jewish community, and they were called to worship the one true God, Yahweh. In the New Testament, God called people from many different places as well. He called the Jews to himself. He called the Gentiles to himself. We know the Apostle Paul went all the way to France. Thomas went to India. Thaddeus went to Syria and Libya. The Ethiopian eunuch went down to Ethiopia. People were then called to worship Yahweh from all different parts of the world. And then God calls all kinds of people today, even in our midst, from what we've had, people who have left and people who are here, people from the Philippines and Nigeria and the U.S. and China and Ireland, Guyana, St. Vincent, Hong Kong, unless you want to call that China, South Africa, Korea, Canada. And we are called to worship the one true God, Yahweh. This is what God wanted from the very beginning of the gospel preaching, that proto-evangelium, that first gospel in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent will come and wound the head of the son of the woman, but that woman's son will rise up and crush the head of the serpent. That was speaking of the cross. And that was for the whole world. But God did not give the gospel call to nations or individuals because they were more worthy than others. Now, some people think that the Jewish blood was so wonderful that God says, I love those Jewish people. God didn't choose them that way. And look in history. There was a time when God called the Europeans. Many of them were cannibals, warmongers. But then God passed over cannibals and warmongers from Papua New Guinea. God sent the Ethiopian eunuch back to Ethiopia with the gospel, but he didn't send anyone to the Mayans in Guatemala and southern Mexico. And think of some of the people that God called. He called murderers, rebels, idolaters, insurrectionists. And then he passed over some people who were not as wicked. He didn't call them to himself. So it wasn't a matter of who looked more worthy, who looked better. God did not call people because they made use of the light of nature. That's when you look at nature and say, I know there is a God, I'm going to go find him. God didn't choose people because they went to find him in nature, taking that first step to him, meeting him halfway. God called people with the gospel because of his free, good pleasure and love. That's why God called. He didn't say you were really nice, you were special. Oh, you got the nice skin. It's that white skin or the beautiful brown skin or that black skin. He didn't choose anyone because of that. He didn't call anyone because of that. But for his free good pleasure and his love. But there are many people who have a problem with that. Among them, notably, are the Arminians. They have a problem with believing this, believing instead that God only saved those who are more worthy than others, or he saved those who made a better use of the light of nature, taking that first step to him as if we would take a step toward God by ourselves. Now, history proves that that is not the case, but we won't use history now. We'll just use the Bible. Israel was chosen because God loved them. Abraham was an idol worshiper, probably a fire. And some of his people sacrificed their own children to the fire gods. That's the way they worship in Mesopotamia. Look at what Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 says, and commit this verse to memory together. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other, for you were the least of all peoples. And what does he mean by that? Israel was started by an old man and a barren woman. You couldn't get more least than that. So the point is, you weren't saved because you were less depraved than others. God loved you. That's why he chose you. And remember, there was this picture in Luke 13 where there were those who thought, oh, those were really wicked people, the one in whom the Tower of Siloam fell and crushed them. Or the people who were killed while they were offering sacrifices when Pilate sent and killed Judas Gallinitis and his merry men who were worshipping in the temple and mixed their blood with the blood of the temple sacrifices. And the people said to Jesus, oh, those were really terrible people. And what did Jesus say? No, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Don't think they were worse. Brothers and sisters, knowing this, this is why you ought to love God with deeper passion and show it by zealous service. We talked about building up the church and playing your part and knowing what your calling is, like Nehemiah's days. What made those people do it? It's because they were chosen by God when they were nothing. They had no hope. They weren't looking to God. They weren't taking a step to him. They weren't saying, I see God in nature. I'm going to find him. They did not take even, they could not even make a sigh towards their salvation. Knowing God has called you, you love him. You serve him. You raise your family to love and serve him. That's what God expects. The truth is, there are some who may not even hear the call, because God would not send anyone to them. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, together. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. God was saying, don't go there, at least don't go there now. There are times when God just stopped people from doing that. He didn't provide that opportunity for them to hear the gospel. And God was just in doing this because election is not a right. Effectual call is not a right. It's a grace of God. What is God's? What do you have a right to? Because of your sin, you have a right to hell. That's God's justice. God had no obligation to send the gospel to any wicked person or any wicked tribe or any wicked nation. God did send someone to you, though, didn't he? He sent someone to give you the gospel. Maybe your parents, maybe a pastor, maybe a friend. Maybe someone wrote a book. God didn't have to do it, but he sent them to you. That's love. That's love. Don't spurn God's love. Love him back. Worship him. Tell others of what he has done for you. Because that's true grace. That's not something you deserve, but he still called you to himself. Secondly, God not only calls you to himself, he calls you genuinely. He calls all men genuinely. Article 8 on the serious call of the gospel, we read together. Nevertheless, all who are called through the gospel are called seriously. For seriously and most genuinely, God makes known in the word what is pleasing to God, that those who are called should come to God. Seriously, God also promises rest for their souls and eternal life to all who come and believe. Now, if God calls someone with the outward call of the gospel, that's general preaching, but does not call him inwardly by his spirit so that he can believe, can that outward call be a serious or genuine call from God? And the answer is yes. Our Armenian friends think that if only the elect can respond to that call, that a serious external call to all is dishonest. They're accusing God of a problem here, of a sin. But look at what the Word of God teaches. First of all, God unequivocally calls for the indiscriminate preaching of the gospel to the world and calls men to repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, he said together, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And you notice something that's interesting here. I want you to take note of one word, command. God is not just offering the gospel. He's commanding people to receive the gospel. This is what the Apostle Paul announced in Athens. Obey and believe. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says together, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You notice, is man able to perfectly or even able to obey God's command? No. But does God command it? Yes. Is God unfair to do so? No. Is God wrong to tell people to obey a command that a man is not able to obey? God is not wrong. Is it a genuine call then to say you must believe the gospel if God doesn't help you to believe? There's nothing wrong with that. That's a genuine call. The command is not contingent on man's ability to do it. Look at some more genuine calls in the Bible. God actually calls men in a genuine way. One of my favorite passages is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 3. Together, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." That's the Lord saying, come, really and genuinely so. God pleads directly, and God pleads through his people. Look again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, together. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God is pleading through you. That means you have to share the gospel so that people will hear and come. And that's a genuine thing. It's a real thing. Second thing to consider here is the fact that God does not choose some does not mean that the call to the non-elect is not serious. Look again at the scripture proofs of this. Listen very carefully, or let's read together Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Together, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways." Does that seem like it's not a genuine call? God does say, turn to me and live. It's a sincere call to repentance. And in fact, God says he is hurt by the death of a soul that ends up in hell. God is hurt because that soul has no love for him. God is hurt because that soul rejected his son. God is hurt because they chose Satan over salvation. God is hurt when a sinner does not repent. One of the other beautiful passages is the Lord Jesus himself talking. Look at the longing of the Savior for the salvation of the Jewish people. Luke chapter 13, verse 34, together. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." He longs for that. And he says, you're fighting. You're resisting. Third answer to that objection is this. God desires the salvation of all, and yet he is under no obligation to save any. It's a genuine call. He simply does not call people in the heart and pulls them to himself by his Spirit. And let me show you how this is played out even in your own life. You may desire to help the orphans in Africa. You might see some of them in dire poverty and say, it'll tug at your heart. Oh, I feel so sad for those people who are suffering. Look at those children. Parents are gone. They're abused. Some are sold as slaves. And your heart cries out for them. But do you help them? Are you obligated to sell your house and move in with a relative, and then take all that money and send it to them? Are you wrong if you don't do that? No, you're not wrong. You can still keep living in a house and help wherever you can and how much you feel the Lord is leading you to help. But you don't have to give up everything you have for them. You can genuinely desire the improving of their conditions without giving everything you own to them. And so God genuinely desires the salvation of people and calls them genuinely to repentance. But he doesn't have to give them things that they need in order to do so. He doesn't have to pull them by His Holy Spirit. That's an important thing to get right. Now, here's the application, though. The fact that God has no obligation to save you must make you even more grateful for your salvation. It should make you worship Him even more passionately. Because He didn't have to do it, but He did. Now, why is that that some reject God's genuine call? Why is it that some reject God's genuine call? Our third point. We know God calls all peoples. First thing, He calls all peoples genuinely, a real call, even though He does not help everyone to come to Himself. It is a genuine call. So man is without excuse if he rejects God's call. But why is it that some reject God's genuine call? Article 9, human responsibility for rejecting the gospel. Together, the fact that many who are called through the ministry of the gospel do not come and are not brought to conversion must not be blamed on the gospel, nor on Christ, who is offered through the gospel, nor on God, who calls them through the gospel and even bestows various gifts on them, but on the people themselves who are called. Some, in self-assurance, do not even entertain the word of God. Others do entertain it, but do not take it to heart. And for that reason, after the fleeting joy of a temporary faith, they relapse. Others choke the seed of the word with the thorns of life's cares and with the pleasures of the world and bring forth no fruits. This our Savior teaches in the parable of the sower. So, some men reject the gospel and we must ask why. First of all, it is not the gospel fault that man rejects it. The gospel is clear. Jesus died for sinners, and some just don't want to hear the gospel. Or they hear the gospel, but they reject it. And when they hear, whoever wills, let him come, they say, I don't want to come. It's not the gospel fault, gospel's fault. The gospel is clear. And it's not Christ's fault that some people reject the gospel and are condemned by it. Some just reject Christ, the one portrayed in the gospel as the all-sufficient and willing Savior. When God says, who will go? He said, here I am, send me. I will go and die for the sins of the world. And Jesus himself said, whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. But they reject the ministry of reconciliation. And like the Jews, they're ready to dismiss him or kill him. Third, it's not God's fault that some reject the gospel. God gave the command. God sincerely desires that man hears and believes the gospel. But man refuses to accept it. And this is why man must take full responsibility for his sins. The Arminians argue that God wouldn't command man to do what man can't do. That's something you hear the Muslims say as well. That's why they reject the scriptures. Say, how could God tell man to do something he can't do? But God tells man to do what he is supposed to do. And it's only man's fault that he lost the ability. And it's man's desire then to call upon God for help. God has no obligation to call one internally. God doesn't even have the responsibility to call one externally through the preaching of the gospel. That's why some people never heard the gospel and were rightly condemned because they inherited sins and they continue to sin against God. And I say this to emphasize the importance of you to love God who chose you and gave you this opportunity to live for Him. So whose fault is it? It's not the gospel. It's not Christ. It's not the Father. Whose fault is it? It is man's fault he rejects the gospel. Man is so sure of himself that he rejects God. He doesn't care about the glory of God. Some people give the gospel a temporary listen, but they don't take it to heart. The seed falls by the wayside, doesn't really penetrate. Some allow the gospel to sink in, but the soil of the heart is so rocky that the seed does not grow properly, not having any depth, and it dies. Some allow the cares and worries of the world to choke the gospel and to kill it. They know intellectually that it's good, but they love themselves. They love the pleasures of the world. They love the advancement in society and the pursuit of education and becoming famous, that those things squeeze the gospel, and they have no time for the gospel to teach, to bless their families. You see, the seed of the gospel is fine. It's effective. It's powerful. But their hearts are hard. That's why some reject the gospel. Because their hearts are hard. And they willfully turn away from God. And finally, there are some people who think they're unworthy of the gospel. And the truth is, every one of us is. If anyone feels this way, it's true. You are unworthy of the gospel. But God calls them to receive it anyway. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. That's why you should love God all the more. That's why you should serve Him better. That's why you should sing His praises when you wake up in the morning. And when maybe you have some problem during the day, you get a flat tire or something, you don't start to swear, but rather you say, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him till that day. I know my soul is at rest. It is well with my soul. That's where this leads. It's not a harsh doctrine at all. It's a doctrine of love and grace. When people hear the gospel and feel unworthy, say, thank you, God, for the grace you've given to me. I am not worthy. I acknowledge my unworthiness and I receive your grace. Let's conclude. God sincerely calls all kinds of people to come in, to come to Him and be saved through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't have to call any, but He called many anyway. Now, some don't respond to the gospel. Some don't want to hear the gospel, even if they listen to it. They rebel against God's encouragement and command to trust in Christ and receive what He did on the cross. So those who reject the gospel will die in their sins and spend eternity in hell. It's not God's fault they will go to hell. It's their own fault. It's their own sin. It's their own rebellion against God. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are one of those all kinds of people that God calls to Himself in Jesus Christ. He didn't have to call you. He didn't have to call the Jews. He didn't have to call the Chinese or the Europeans or the South Americans, but He did. You're one of those. Rejoice in the Lord. Humble yourself before Him and worship Him for calling you to Himself. And then announce this call to the world. If you do, some will hear and believe, and then they too will praise God, for that is our purpose in life. And if you can't go to share the gospel, send others. Send them with your money. Send them with your prayers. Send them with your encouragement. That's what your pastors need to hear. That's what your elders need to hear. That's what Pastor Brian needs to hear as he deals with sharing the gospel with Muslims, and they have all kinds of challenges to do so. Pray for us. That's how the elect will come. That's how God will call them. And finally, if you're not a Christian, hear God's call to receive the salvation he's offering. Ask for his Spirit to work in you and to pull you to him. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come." By the way, the Spirit and the Bride, that's the Spirit and the Church, say, come. "And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words again today. Thank you for nourishing us with your word of truth. Thank you for reminding us again of this wonderful doctrine of election. May we never find fault with you, for election is but grace. We pray, Lord, that we will not use it as an excuse for being complacent, but that we will hear the gospel, receive it, and be nourished. Let it fall in good soil, and then let us spread it. Spread it everywhere, that it will find good soil to grow and bear much fruit. Bless and keep us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.